Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, breath of God, as we open your word, open our hearts, calm our minds. Make us attentive to hear what you have to say to us this morning, no matter what circumstances brought us to this moment. Speak, Lord, through Pastor Cecil, for your children are listening. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Let's begin by reading Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, which is found in your Pew Bible on page 105, but it will also be shown on the screens. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Next, we're going to read from Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 to 15, and that's on page 257. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female slave or servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord.
So we've heard the fourth commandment read from Exodus and Deuteronomy. I would like to read, just so that you can hear it, what Lord's Day 38 says about the fourth commandment. This is the question asked is, what is God's will for you in the fourth commandment? That's keeping the Sabbath, right? Here's the answer. First, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained. That especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life, I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. It's an interesting answer to the question about keeping Sabbath. In 6 days, the Lord created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, and rested the seventh day and set it apart, Sabbath. On that first Sabbath day, God stopped his work. He rested. He rested from what he was doing, and he rested in what he had done. That's the first layer of rest from work that the Bible gives us. God resting from his work at creation. The second layer is what we read from Exodus and Deuteronomy. The second layer is God commanding people to do just like he did, to imitate him, 6 days of work and then rest. There's a third layer, a layer that centers in Jesus' work, doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, Jesus' work as Savior and suffering servant. Right? On Calvary, we actually hear Jesus say at a given point, it's finished. And one day, when Jesus comes back on the clouds of heaven, this whole world is going to join in and know it and feel it and celebrate it. It's finished, complete, all things have been made new. A forever of shalom. Resting from every ounce of struggle and resting in the goodness of what God has done. All things made new. That's where the second paragraph of the Heidelberg Catechism leans towards, has us moving, leaning towards the day when everything's going to be made well. And maybe you noticed in that second paragraph, no longer does the Catechism pay any attention to the Sabbath being a one-day deal. Doesn't say anything there about stopping from work. It just says Sabbath keeping is something for every day. Comes into play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well. It used to be way more defined, way more focused, right? For the church and for everybody in the whole society. Stores shut down. Everything shut down. There were Sabbath laws. Not anymore. Years ago, Sabbath day automatically included church and worship. Everybody was home and, well, like the first paragraph of the Lord's Day's answer says, the Sabbath keeping was always included going to church, a festive day of rest, gather. And it was easy in some ways because Sunday was a day off for most everybody, so opportunity was there. The hardest questions used to be, what was allowable, what was not allowable on the Sabbath? You probably have a list of your own. I remember a few from when I was growing up. Could I ride my bike or not? If I was going to play hockey Sunday afternoon, could I do it with my boots on the road, or could I risk putting my skates on and heading to the rink? In my case, that was a no chance. Could I do homework or not? No way. You know, we may laugh now, but those were the kinds of questions we dealt with. What was allowable? Where do you draw the lines? That was the focus so often. It occurred to me these last days that when the Catechism deals with Sabbath keeping, it says some things about education for gospel ministry, right? It says some things about worship, gathering together and doing all of the things we do here. And it says some things about leaning towards the day of eternal rest and every day resting from whatever evilness there will be in us. Leaning towards the day when God's work of redemption and making all things new in Jesus Christ will be declared finished, perfectly finished. What occurred to me is that the Catechism doesn't actually deal with the not working part of Sabbath keeping. At least, the way it was given to us back in Exodus and Deuteronomy. In other words, the Catechism deals with the third layer, but it doesn't deal with the first or second layers. And That's the way it was experienced and lived for generations upon generations. And that began already back in the desert. Right? Nothing even remotely close to gospel ministry or education for it back then. They were living in the desert by the grace of God. And the means of God's grace, the way they experienced God's grace was, we noticed that a few weeks ago, manna, quail, water, deliverance from Egypt right through the Red Sea, from death into life. And God's presence was there, the cloud in the day, the pillar of fire at night. This was the God who carried them. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The life-giving God. The creator who gave birth to the universe. The promise keeper who rescued, delivered, resurrected the Israelites from sure death and gave them life and a promise of a land. Maybe you recall a few weeks ago when we got started on the Ten Commandments, we said that Exodus 20, right there at Mount Sinai, when they get the commandments and so on, that's ground zero for everything we read in the first books of Moses. This is the day when the Almighty King Yahweh, the king who doesn't rule with a fist, but with a generous heart that pulses with care and strength, a king who is with his people and for his people always, that king says, we need to talk about what it means that you are my people. We need to keep in focus who I am, this God with a heart, and who you are, my image bearers in life. And then come these commandments, these 10 words, and every one of them gives you a facet of the same thing. They keep in focus who God is and what does it mean for us to be his image bearers. Everything, remember, everything before Exodus 20, all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, all of that is part of the resume of God. This is the king who is giving you his law. And the fourth commandment makes that really explicit. Exodus 20 begins. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember. Remember what? Well, says God, go back to the very beginning, to creation. In 6 days, I made everything, the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that's in them, but I rested the seventh day, right? I blessed that seventh day. I set it apart. I rested from all the creating work that I had been doing. And the pattern established then, 6 days of God working, using his power, right, to create this world where everyone and everything in it could flourish, 6 days of working. And then it's as though God stepped back, taking it all in. He rested from and rested in what he had done. And I wonder if you can picture that. Can you picture, imagine for a moment, God looking left and God looking right and God looking up close and way in the distance. He's seeing it all. He sees the round, even globes. He sees this side, that side, that side, and the back all at once. He can do it. He's God. He sees the exterior. He sees the interior. He sees the colors above ground and underwater. He sees coral reefs and tropical fish and fruits and vegetables and trees and flowers and birds and coppers and golds and silvers and cobalts and emeralds, plants and animals and people. He sees it all. And it's in harmony. It's in shalom. It's perfection. And there's God just enjoying what he has made, reveling in it. It's wonderful. The giver, I imagine him saying something like Jesus would later echo, It's finished. It's finished. And already then, in the beginning, God blessed that seventh day and made it holy, set it apart. He stopped working, doing, achieving, and he was attentive to the goodness of it all. Exodus 20 says, God wants you to imitate that pattern. 6 days do all your work, but the seventh stop your working. Rest from your work. But this is not just about resting from the weary. It's not just about taking a break because you deserve a break. It's about resting in the work of God. This is about trusting that life, as was true from the beginning of time all the way up to the desert time, in fact, all the way to right now, the life we live and have and know. Life is a gift from God. We owe every bit of who we are to the giving, the generosity of God, and for Israel, that was underlined by the deliverance from Egypt and doubly underlined by God's provisions in the desert. Manna, quail, water, rescue, cloud, pillar, tabernacle. This day was so that God's people could be attentive to all that God gave and all that they received. This one day of not working, not using our minds and hands and legs and energy to sustain ourselves, this one day of not working was to be a profession of faith, a testimony that said, we don't live because of what we do. We live because of who God is and what he gives. We're saved by God's grace. And this seventh day of not working, this is our act of worship, which honors God as the giver and provider. It's our recognition and our confession that we are receivers. And by not working, we are free to be attentive to what God gives and what we receive. To see. To scan to the left and to the right, up close towards the horizon. To see the people in our lives. To recognize the mystery and the miracle of life itself. And to know that God is present and provides in all of this. How is God present? How does he provide? Well, let me count the ways. To see all the means of God's grace that surround us and anchor us and bless us, to take it all in, to enjoy it, to wonder at it, to worship because of it. This is what Sabbath keeping is intended to foster. It's intended to foster an attentiveness to God as giver. Almighty in power, but with a heart which pulses with love and care for what he has made. A heart that leans, that tilts towards others. And when we are attentive to God as the giver, then we also become attentive to ourselves as receivers. Life does not begin and end with my effort, my work. So in Exodus, we are told to remember the Sabbath day, to imitate what God initiated in the beginning. In Deuteronomy, there's a little bit of a twist, maybe a little bit of an extra layer. In Exodus, the command is to remember the early Sabbath and to imitate it. Deuteronomy, the command is, observe the Sabbath day and ensure that not only you stop working, but your whole household stops working. Son, daughter, manservant, maidservant, ox, donkey, even a foreigner, an other, Why? Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. God rescued you, gave you life, provided for you, showed you his grace. And so just as you have been blessed by God's provision of life-giving power, be yourself a real, honest-to-God representative, an image of God. May all the others in your world, your universe, may they too experience the blessing of rest from and know that it's about resting in, attentive to the grace of God. Attentive to the grace of God. The Sabbath. Are we willing to do nothing that is productive? Achieving, earning. Are we willing to do nothing but point a finger to God? Giver, provider, we receive, depend. May the people whom your life touches, may they be blessed as you are, says Deuteronomy, with the capacity to rest, and more significantly, with time to be attentive to these deeply spiritual dynamics. God gives, we receive. You know, there are more layers to this. There are more layers to this. The New Testament, let me just say, the New Testament underlines the fact that the Sabbath never has been, never existed as a day for its own sake. It was never about the day. It took shape as a one-day thing, but it was never about the one day. What that one day intended, what it intended to foster and encourage was attentiveness to God the provider, and we the receivers, God's representatives, his ambassadors in this world. And what the New Testament underlines is that every single day is a good day, a necessary day to be attentive to who God is, to who we are. We know it from the creation story. We know it from the Exodus story. We know it from the Jesus story. We know it from our own life story. The fourth commandment says, be attentive. Eyes open. Ears unplugged. Taste buds. Fingertips, nose, heart. Do you know your life to be a gift from God? Do you know your salvation to be a gift from God? Do you know yourself, your others, your world to be gifts from God? And how are you doing as a receiver? Aware? Attentive? Thankful? Respectful? Worshipful? And are you too a giver? Does your heart pulse with generosity towards others? Or does your heart repulse and think mostly of self? Remember the Sabbath. Observe the Sabbath. Lean into each day of the week being Sabbath, anticipating an eternal Sabbath. Attentive. That's it. The fourth commandment wants us to remember who God is, and who God has blessed us to be. Whether that's through a one day per week concentrate, or whether that's through a 7 day a week explosion, and maybe both. The question this command asks of us is, how are you going to keep Sabbath in a time when it's not as easy to at least pretend that we're keeping Sabbath when everybody had Sunday off? How are you going to say yes to God? How's your life going to demonstrate that you not only say you live by grace, but you actually do and are attentive to it? Living by grace. The proof of the pudding, we say, lies in the tasting. And the point simply is, when we say that we live by grace, the gift from a generous God, the reality of that confession has to do with how that confession shows up and informs and is visible in the way we live from day to day. It's a big command. And it asks all that we have, our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind. Let's have at it. Let's sing together a song, "Oh, for a thousand tongues."